brought to you by Penguin.
The Bloater by Rosemary Tonks, read by Florence Howard, with an introduction written and read by Stuart Lee.
Introduction. The Realm of the Essence of Tonks. In the late summer of 1987, I lived deliriously alone behind the sun-smeared bay window of a first-floor room in an otherwise empty shared Victorian house. Its garden acridly fumigated my sleeping space with the heady musk of the territorial pissings of cats and the baked urine of homeless men enjoying the privacy of our side alleyway, many being ex-professors gone doolally, it was alleged, by subsequent generations of students. I was deliciously content there, even with only a bag of brown rice and half a dozen records to see me through to a crisp and cold October and the arrival of my full grant. A stray waif floating on the thermals of the now faded belief that further education was an end in itself. By day I earned beer money handing out leaflets for a fancy dress shop down by the station in the ancient university town, heading out as a horror movie gorilla in full fur and face mask, routinely attacked by emboldened young men whose barely suppressed inner primitive still recognised their traditional enemy, a distant forest-dwelling relative, nonetheless too close to the family tree for comfort. By night, my idyllic environment would swing to a compilation of early recordings by the New Zealand post-punk band The Verlaines, specifically the jangling thrash of their 1983 single, Death and the Maiden. It's a great record. Two self-absorbed aesthetes wander the streets of Dunedin, indulgently imagining they are protagonists in a psychodrama of their own making, drenched in the perfumed insolence of the French symbolists. Do you like Paul Verlaine? Is it going to rain today? Shall we have our photo taken? We'll look like Death and the Maiden. Who were these characters, later long-term seven-inch residents of my vintage Wurlitzer? And why were they as they were? Decadent, determined to be bored, flaneurs fearful of feelings. When to the teenage me, the waiting world was an overripe orange wanting to be sucked dry. 3 decades later, I was to meet them again, archetypes that drift through the centuries, privileged princes and princesses paralysed by prevarication. Because they and their ilk, or at least versions of them, waft in fine detail through the pages of The Bloater, a great lost 60s novel that captures the momentary guttering of flimsy moods in mid-flicker, Edward Muybridge, Connor photographing the flapping of human emotions in flight. I hope you will now clasp it, as I have done, to your heart. Head forward 33 years. Sometime during the Birdsong brilliant street silent space of the first 2020 pandemic lockdown, I set about a grand imaginary project of my own making, walking long routes across London via linked chains of undocumented locations, significant to me alone, it seemed. Unblessed for the most part by blue plaques, their coordinates gouged out of literary biographies, the contact addresses on the sleeves of old punk singles, unreliable small press books of unreliable occult histories, and the occasional long-lost letter. I hoped it might add up to a serviceable idea of some sort, perhaps a fond parody of Ian Sinclair-style psychogeography in which the author, me, was pursuing his great work to stave off some middle-aged brain fog breakdown, mine. Perhaps, I now realise, that was what it actually was. Nevertheless, one great find was a particular Hampstead house, an early 19th century square-faced home traced from the address on a private piece of correspondence that had come into my hands, tucked into the corner of a suburban junction, cross-triangulated in a few hundred yards by the former residences of more famous and formerly commemorated names. The artist Paul Nash, the poets Louis MacNeice, John Keats, Edith Sitwell and Edwin Muir, the surrealists Roland Penrose and Lee Miller, Dame Flora Robson, best known as Stygian Witch One from Clash of the Titans, and, oddly, the chief muppeteer, Jim Henson. I stood in front of the unspectacular property, distinguished only by the massive price its once bohemian but now prohibitively gentrified location means it commands, and took a celebratory, blank-faced selfie. How very contemporary of...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?